Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on August 19th, 2014 at the Top Hat Lounge in Missoula, Montana. This edition of Tell Us Something features 10 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, Busted. This week's story comes to us from Nita Maddox and is titled, The Game is Rigged. Thank you for listening.
I would almost be naked. I mean, I would almost be nervous. But I'm picturing you all naked, and it's relatively easy because I've seen some of you before. At this moment, actually, in talking about that, I'm feeling very demisexual because as people lay out their stories, the interconnections are just overwhelming me. And Missoula, I freaking love you people. You are. So my story kind of shapes around the theme of when you create a rigid structure for your children, you could maybe accidentally radicalize them. So when I was 14 years old, I grew up in Whitefish, Montana. And one side of the family was fourth generation from there, and the other side of the family is Blackfeet Indian, and they've been there since the land's been there. And my uncle was the mayor, my mom was the principal at the high school, and the deacon at the Presbyterian church, my dad was the city judge. I knew everyone in that town, and my family had created a beautiful veneer of, and they meant it on some levels, they were very civically oriented, but there was this veneer of we were the best people, we were pure and good and golden, and my dad was not that. My dad was a drunk who beat the crap out of us on a regular basis. And he was a wonderful human being at the same time, but there was like a lot of hypocrisy that was being hidden behind this veneer of perfection. And the way my mom dealt with it was to become a very fundamentalist Christian. And I grew up in a household where we only had religious music, we only had religious writings, we only had religious films. We never talked about sex, and nudity was something that never happened in our household. So when I was 14 years old, I was quite possibly the most annoying. You knew this girl, you hated this girl. I'm sorry, we can't do that. Will your parents be there? Is that okay? Is there going to be adult supervision? I really don't think we should do that. I was the stellar athlete. I had straight A's. I never wore skirts that were above my knees. I was really annoying. And I thought that what I could do if I was only perfect, just perfect, pure and perfect, and prayed. Oh, I prayed I was going to be a nun. I visited that a few different times. It's not working out. If I was perfect, I could hold it all together. My family would be okay. My dad would be okay. I wasn't doing this because I needed to be perfect. I needed you to look at me and I was perfect. I was doing this because if I was perfect, I could save other people. And I was very serious about this. I loved these people and I wanted them to be okay. So I took that math homework very seriously. I took my junior, you know, church group very, very seriously. And 4 days before high school started, I'm 14 years old. In Whitefish, there's only really one thing to do 4 days before high school starts, and that's get dressed up in your Duran Duran outfits, hairspray out to here, and go walk around the lake and have people maybe look at you in your white patent boots that come up to here. Because it's the 80s. Because I hate to tell you this, I'm not 27, I'm 47. And after I finish the story, I may have to flee. So we're walking around the lake with a few of my friends, and this car pulls up, a beautiful Dodge Charger. It's primer painted. They've begun to put a lift kit on the front of it, and one door is still being worked on, so it's taped shut. And it pulls up, and these guys that are 3 years older go, "Hey, you girls need a ride anywhere?" And I'm about to be like, "Oh, no, 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 we cannot accept a ride from these boys." But Bill Driscoll is sitting in the back seat. And Bill Driscoll lived next door to me, a family of five Catholic boys. He was the youngest. And oh my God, Bill Driscoll was beautiful. And I thought, well, maybe this one time. I mean, I did put hairspray in my hair. So we hop in the car. They give us a ride. At that time, there's a grocery store, a parking lot, and a big hotel that has a liquor store in it in Whitefish. And they pull into the parking lot, and they're like, "You girls wait here. We're going to go get something to drink." And I'm thinking, oh, we're going to have soda in the park with Bill Driscoll. So the boys take a really long time. And pretty soon, the door that's taped shut with kind of this hard plastic on it is ripped open. And all of us girls scream as police officers yank us out, throw us down on the pavement, cuff us, and haul us into a paddy wagon. Turns out the boys were stealing alcohol. So we get to jail, and all the girls are sent home because we didn't know what was going on. And all the boys are 17, and they stole a couple bottles of wine. They're sent home. But my dad decides he's going to prove something. This is Thursday. School starts on Monday. This is the last weekend of the summer. And Thursday, I spend the entire weekend in jail to teach me a lesson. So over the course of that weekend, there were three or four women through there who told me their stories. Three of them were very kind and incredibly illuminating. And the fourth one was a huge woman who kept being like, "Baby, you know you want to kiss me." And there was a moment like that moment in a horror story where you say, why am I running from the mentally challenged, limping guy with a ski mask on? Screw you, let's fight. And after that, there were a lot of illusions that were stripped away from me. And after that, I thought, this game is rigged. Fuck you, motherfuckers. If I ever end up in jail again, I'm earning it. So we're going to jump ahead 2 years now. And in that two-year period of time, I'm dating a 26-year-old. I maybe worked at Dairy Queen for a week and said, this job's for suckers who wear shitty shoes. And I start dealing weed. But I'm still getting straight A's, and I'm smart about it. I never bring it to school. I'm very careful about it. But I start being very ill, and it's kind of cutting into things. I'm like starting to have problems at school. And my dad, who was always a mixed bag, he suddenly becomes really compassionate and worried. And he's going to take me to the doctor. But on the day he's going to take me to the doctor, it's a little problematic because I'm like, damn, that person wants to buy a lot of weed. So I stay a straight A student, and I'm a really geeky straight A student on that note. And there's a honors science class, and there's four of us in that honors science class. Three guys that could not get a date in high school and now own multi-million dollar companies. And one of those kids in his garage finds his dad's anarchist cookbook. And we made every single bomb in that book. But there was one bomb we could never get to work, and this kid and I locked down on this, like, ego battle, like, that bomb won't work. Oh, yes, it will. Oh, no, that bomb will not work. So my dad takes me to the doctor one day. I decide it's the one day I can bring weed to school because I'm not going to be opening and closing my locker. I'm just going to leave it in the locker, go to the doctor's appointment, come back. It's all going to be okay. So we go to the doctor's appointment. Doctor's like, yeah, you're ill because you're pregnant. And dad loses it, pulls the flask out in the doctor's office. And dad has this unique technique. It's called the finger point, but it's a reinforced finger point. And when he's pissed off, there's no word that's monosyllabic. It's like, you becomes three syllables long. So by the time we get back to the high school, Dad's drunk, I'm red-eyed, bruised, and the parking lot is full of cop cars. And we go in and we walk past the hallway, and I look down the hallway, and there's my favorite jacket, portions of my history book, and weed all over the hallway. We go into my mom, the high school principal's office, and my mom explains how I'm being arrested for dealing drugs, and my dad explains to my mom how I'm pregnant. Police decide to politely step out and release me to the recognizance of my mom while my dad goes to get drunk. And my mom takes me home and we pray. And she tells me, it's going to be okay. We're going to raise this child. You may not be able to go to college, but it's going to be all right. And I'm thinking, do I slip my wrists? Where does Dad keep his gun? What's going to happen here? And then Dad comes home, and it's October, and it's like one of those, it's getting dark early, and I remember walking out onto the porch steps and seeing like the neighbor's lights, and my dad coming up those steps, and he went to start in on me, and I remember that it wasn't even like a really hard punch. It was just a subtle punch right at the heart. And he fell backwards. And I remember the neighbors out on their porches and people saying things like, call 911. And the police arrived. And actually, in a weird moment of clarity, they took me to my grandparents' house. And I ended up never living with my parents again. And finishing high school and having a full ride scholarship to college and getting straight A's. But when I was at that point, about a week into it, I thought, fuck, I'm 16. I'm like so screwed. What am I going to do? And my dad showed up at school and he took me to Spokane because back then you couldn't get an abortion in Montana. And we went and we had a drive there and we got an abortion. And it was a beautiful conversation about being human and about how when we hold up those artifices and we pretend to be things we're not and we can't stand up and admit to our foibles and our fouls and how we are as human beings, you are setting yourself up for epic failure. And my grandfather always said, when there's a giant pile of shit, there's usually a pony nearby. And then I have a good friend who says, but why would you want to ride a poopy pony?
Thank you for your support of live storytelling and local art. The Bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, faculty, and staff of the University of Montana, as well as the Missoula community. MontanaBookstore.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. FactandFictionBooks.com. Top Hat Lounge, bringing great music to Missoula for over 60 years, the Top Hat now serves food and offers, in addition to great music, comedy shows, performance art, and film. TopHatLounge.com. Haley Faust. Haley Faust is a graphic and media designer based in the heart of the Rocky Mountains. From concept to final design launch, Haley puts her heart and soul into your design project. HaleyFaust.com. Zoo City Apparel, custom screen printing. ZooCityApparel.BigCartel.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for the best gifts, music, and more. Great people, great music. RockandRudy's.com. Podcast production by Nathan Zavalny of Missoula Soundworks. MissoulaSoundworks.com. Thank you to everyone who attends the events, those of you who download the podcasts, and especially to the storytellers, Reed Reimers, Jennifer Edwards, Steve Gonzalez, Ingrid Beal, Megan Hollinsworth, Ben Weiss, Kim Maynard, Kate Morris, Nita Maddox, and Courtney Blakely Shields. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for October 9th at the Top Hat. The theme is The Things We Carry. See you then.